and Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Here we are on one of the hottest weeks of summer, most likely in the Umpqua Valley. So a good time to talk about the fire danger situation and related things that are going on. And Rachel Pope and Adam Sinke of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Aaron, let's start with you, or Adam rather. Talk about kind of what you do.
So I am the North Unit Forester for the Douglas Forest Protective Association. I've been working for DFPA for about 22 years now, and I run all of our operations on our north end of our district, so pretty much anything from like just south of Sutherland up past Curtin.
So is there a particular place? Well, you're really kind of all over the place then, right?
Yeah, so we go both east and west side of parts of our district all the way up and cover a large portion. And then we also help just do general coverage for the district itself as well as being part of the manager group.
So kind of give us more of a picture of like an average day for you.
So I actually have my offices there in Roseburg, and so I work there a lot. A lot of times I'll try to go up and meet up with our crew when they come on. They come on a little bit later than I do and just kind of brief, make sure everybody kind of has a game plan for the day. And then whenever if there's a fire, then I kind of go out there, offer that high-end support out there on the fire, help with the investigations, stuff like that.
And how did you get into this whole line of work?
So I actually started this as a summer job in between my junior and senior year of high school. So back then we used to have a youth program that we allowed people 16 or 17 years old to work for us doing different tasks and firefighting and stuff like that. And unfortunately, that program went away with some federal work restrictions and stuff like that. But it was a great program and got me working here years ago. And then after I finished college, kind of realized that this is what I wanted to do.
When you were in college, were you already looking at a degree related to that, or did you have a different idea?
So I actually originally went to school to become a paramedic and work in kind of the fire industry and stuff like that on that aspect, more of the structural side, and then looked at some other things after that. But I just kind of always kept falling back to wanting to do the wildland fire portion.
I don't know how many people over the years from DFPA and the other organizations have been in here and said, well, it started as a job in high school or college.
Yeah, there's a lot of us. Yeah.
It was either that or do fast food or, you know, I mean, it was really just your basic summer job entry level. But it really gets your attention, and a lot of people really like being out in the forest.
Yeah, and that's more what it was just kind of a job that I thought when I was young that I could get outside, I could go work out there, and then, you know, just kind of doing a job that, you know, both my parents worked in the timber industry, working for, you know, one of the large timber companies here. And so it was just kind of one of those things that kind of give back to that community that brought us up. And so that's kind of the same story a lot of us have.
So Rachel Pope's the public information officer. Yesterday you did a change in the public use restriction level going to high. Talk about that.
Correct. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having us on. We did announce officially that the public use restriction level has raised to high throughout the Douglas District and in the Douglas protected lands that DFPA covers. We've noticed with the consistent dry, hot heat and the curing of fuels and the current temperatures and the predicted weather and the overall threat that there is to wildfire starts, that's why we had to go ahead and raise those levels to high and place those restrictions on the public.
So how does that change some of the working hours, some of the things people can do?
Right now, so mowing your grass or going out there on the field and using the weed cutters and using a sawmill like that, those have been restricted to before 10 a.m. or after 8 p.m. restrictions. If you're using an electric or a battery-powered mower with stringed blade, that does not have metal blades, then that's not restricted. If your grass is green, that's not restricted. The restrictions are applying to if you have dried or cured grasslands out there, that those restrictions applied before 10 a.m.
And obviously, as you go through the summer, there's a constant shift on these things as the weather changes. What's involved in going out there and making the decision to go from low to moderate to high, et cetera?
So we kind of keep track of some of the different fuel models out there and stuff like that. So one of the things we look at are like the real heavy fuels and how they're drying and they're curing at that time. So we look at those, what we call 1,000-hour fuels. Along with going on with some of the other kind of trends that are going on there, and then both the current and the predicted weather that are occurring at that time. And so it's one of those things we don't really take real lightly, and we always want to make sure that we're kind of following, because we don't want to restrict people if we don't have to, and we only want to restrict them if it's going to help us prevent fires. And so that's one of those things that we just kind of keep monitoring as we go and check the curing of those fuels. And
even, even if you're, you don't know all the science behind it, all you have to do is take a drive out of Roseburg. I mean, I run out to do Riverbend Live every Friday, and I look at those hills, and it's the only time I see them during the week usually. And just going out there, it's like, wow, that's a lot drier than it was last week. I mean, you can really see the change over the past 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and then especially with this week, with these really hot, dry temperatures that we've been having, it's going to really add to that curing thing. And so we're going to be feeling the effect of this week throughout the rest of the summer with these hot conditions. It's kind of like what we saw last year where we had that real hot spell there at the end of June, first part of July, and how that kind of affected us throughout the rest of summer. Well, these heat waves like this will last. And so the curing effect that this 1 week of really hot, dry weather will have will continue to carry on throughout the rest of the summer. And that's part of the reason that goes into that high fire danger as well.
Yeah, and while we had the more moderate temperatures longer, it seemed like, and then some of the rains lasting longer and all that June rain that wasn't normally something you expect, that kind of delayed things, but it's certainly done a big shift in the last couple weeks.
And that's a positive that we've seen. I mean, last year in 2021, fire season officially started in May, and we didn't officially initiate the fire season until almost 35 days after that this year. So, it prolonged the ability for us to get out there and do mitigation work and to work on our defensible space. It gave us time to actually enjoy time off and not be 24/7 first responders to wildfires out there. And knock on wood, thankfully, we haven't had to report to any extreme fires out there on the landscape right now. But now that it's getting hot, it's in the triple digit weathers, we're seeing the grasses brown up, we're seeing the bushes dry out. That's when we're like, hey guys, you know what? We need to initiate these public use restrictions. Let's keep us safe. Let's keep our neighbors safe. Let's keep Douglas County safe. And let's hopefully have a very good fire season this year and we're not out on the land having to fight too many fires. So really that's why those public use restrictions exist, to keep us safe.
Adam, when you're out there and running across people out doing things, talk about sort of the difference between education and enforcement and kind of what the procedures are.
So the main thing that we want to do is kind of keep that education going. So if you notice going through anywhere in Douglas County, you're going to come across our signs. We have like the big peacock boards that let you know which fire danger level we are in. Usually anytime you hit any of those rural areas, you're going to kind of come across those fire restriction and effect signs, the regulated uses and effect type signs, no campfire signs, and things like that. And that's really just trying to educate people, make sure that they know we are in fire season, that there are restrictions in place, and that, they need to be careful with the fire and stuff at that time. We have engines in several patrol areas throughout each of our units, and I think we have about 15 patrol areas total where people are out every day. They're making contacts with the public, and they're kind of tying in with those people to kind of, they see people camping, they have firewood laying there, they may not have a fire going at that time, but they'll stop, they'll talk to them, let them know what our current restrictions are, stuff like that, and just make sure that all their signs are up, they're current, and that they're just passing on good information to those folks out there to try to prevent some fires.
And obviously some definite restrictions on different types of fires that really vary a bit.
So that's one of the things that we kind of look at is the open fires, campfires, and stuff like that. So right now during fire season, we restricted all debris burning. So there's no residential debris burning allowed right now within our district. And then campfires is controlled by regulated use. So once we went into regulated use, campfires were prevented. And then one thing that we did add to our regulated use proclamation this year is the use of propane fire pits. So if somebody has a propane fire pit and it's in a good, clear, safe area, they're allowed to use that propane fire pit. And that's a change that we added to that regulation. One of those things that we've yet to have is a fire starter from one of those propane fire pits. And so with discussion with Salem and some other folks, just to make sure that we weren't kind of the only ones kind of in that situation, you know, it was determined that this was a safe function for people to have, and so that kind of gives them that option.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Adam Sinke, Rachel Pope, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue at 4, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On Inside Douglas County tomorrow, we'll talk to Megan Graham, Executive Director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. And we're talking about the fire situation, conditions in the area, with Adam Sinke and Rachel Pope from the Douglas Forest Protective Association. And Rachel, you're still kind of getting into this. How's this as an evolution for you, all the things that you're learning this year? What's that like?
For me, I love learning. So this is all still new and exciting, even though I have a little bit of anxiety now that we are in these temperatures and fires are starting up and the potential for fires can grow. But at the same time, just being amongst my team and seeing their reactions and how they act, and just being amongst their intelligent levels and understanding fire science and fire weather, it's for me, it's still very captivating and exciting, and I'm hoping that I never lose this interest that I have the longer that I'm with the program.
Now, I know we are in a situation now where there's a lot of things that are can only happen from like 8 p.m. to 1 p.m. You've got the late night things, all of that. So there's been definitely a shift here the last few days. Now, we're at high now on the public use restriction level. Where do things go from there eventually?
Right now, we're at the high level for public use restriction levels, and we're actually at IFPL 2, or that's Industrial Fire Protection Levels 2, and those restrictions are placed on industry and operational levels only with that level. From here, after high, if the weather continues to get hotter, if we see fuels dry out more, then we'll go into extreme levels. Hopefully not, but if we do, usually it's at a limited duration, hoping we only keep that to maybe a week, 2 weeks minimum. The longer that we're in extreme weather, that means the more likelihood that we can have extreme fires start. And once we reach those extreme levels, that's when pretty much everything just gets restricted. Right now, since we're at that high level, we have those allowance times for public use before 10 a.m. or after 8 p.m. And with that, the IFPL level 2, you're allowed to do some functions within your your operations before 1 p.m. or after 8 p.m. Again, once we get into those extreme levels, if we reach those extreme levels, that's when shutdowns start to begin.
And Adam, I know part of that too is actually dealing with those, going out and checking on a lot of these crews and even some inspections.
Yeah, so we have, like I said, we have people out in those patrol areas every single day. And so like part of their duty out there, our forest officers, is to go out and do the inspections for the fire safety part of those logging operations or the industrial operations out there. And so they'll actually check the water trucks, make sure that they run, they flow a sufficient amount of water, they have the proper amount of hose, tools, all the equipment out there has a good spark arrestor or turbo. They're clear of debris that could possibly catch a fire, and that they all have a good functioning ABC fire extinguisher.
And you're really exacting. I was looking at when I was writing up our story about the public restriction level change. I mean, you even talk about, you know, smoking in an area with, you know, 3 feet square or whatever. And I'm like, who actually sits there and figures this out? There's really a lot of science to knowing that if you do this, that works. If you were more vague about it, you're likely to have more issues.
Yeah, so there's a lot of science that went behind it, and it's a lot of trial and error, you know. So if you start picking up trends of, okay, we had issues with, say, you know, Rachel talked earlier about how the weed eaters were restricted and how for the motorized and ones with metal blades. You know, that kind of comes from a history of starting fires. You know, people will be running their weed eaters, they'll set it down in that tall, dry grass, and the exhaust will start the fire in those receptive fuels. Or, you know, they have a metal blade on there and they get a rock strike or hit a fence post and that spark will start that fire. And so that's the reason why we have those things in place. And that why? Because it's kind of that history of starting fires, where the electric weed eaters, you know, you don't have to worry about that exhaust getting hot on those, and you don't have to worry about that metal blade running a string. And so that's kind of the reason why we put those restrictions in place. And then with the time of day, it kind of runs a long time with the humidity and stuff as well. So the later in the day and the hotter it gets, the lower the humidity gets. And then that's what kind of initiates a lot of these fire starts as well.
And I'm no mechanic, believe me, but we've had issues over the years with, you know, catalytic converters and mufflers sending out sparks. People don't happen to look in their rearview mirror. And boom, you've got all kinds of fires.
Yep, and we have had a long history of catalytic converter fires inside Douglas County here, you know, and throughout really just the history of fire. And it's one of those things where, yeah, you have that car, and, you know, if it's not in good tune, it's going to sit there and backfire, especially going up the hill. They'll get kind of loaded up, and right as they kind of peek out on it, it'll kind of blow that exhaust clear and throw those catalytic converter BBs all over the place and little honeycombs out of it, and yeah, we get some fire starts out of those.
What are you seeing right now, looking at the weather data that you guys have to analyze in terms of the next few weeks?
So, you know, we're kind of on that same kind of 10-day forecast that they toss out for everybody else. You know, that's kind of what they're looking at there, and they kind of have that long-term trend. You know, we got kind of a tough few days up ahead of us up through Sunday. They are calling for a chance of lightning up on the Cascades in that portion of it. Isolated storms said through Sunday from that Medford area up all the way through the Cascades. So, and then over on the east side. And then also we're dealing with, you know, the 95 to 100 degree weather and stuff as well. And then they're calling for more of a normal-ish temperature next week.
When you have these thunderstorms and they kick in, sometimes you're fortunate and they're not a big issue, but sometimes they can start a lot of fires in just a few minutes or a couple hours.
Yeah, and so it only takes that one cell that kind of goes off. And so we're kind of going over the Cascades, and, you know, we kind of hope that, well, we don't get them at all. But if they do kind of come this way, we try to get it ready as best we can. So working with the Oregon Department of Forestry, we've kind of brought some more resources into the area to kind of help cover. We have a strike team of engines from Northwest Engines, so 5 engines and strike team leader came down with them. They're stationed down in Medford at this time. And then we also have a heli-attack crew that came into the area yesterday, and they're going to be in the area through this duration of kind of high risk. And so we kind of brought in a little bit extra capacity to help out. So if we do get multiple fires not only on us, but any of our neighboring districts as well, we'll be able to have that extra capacity to help handle those fires.
Because with those folks already in place, if something happens, they can jump on it real quickly versus if they weren't in place and they're in Salem or wherever, you've got to get them here first, and by then you've got a bigger fire.
Exactly. And so if we can get these resources here and we can get them out on the fire real quick, we can get there on that initial stage when that fire is small, it's going to be a lot easier to get it taken care of, get it put out, and then get it taken off the board so we don't have to worry about it.
So obviously through this weekend in particular, until it starts cooling down Monday or Tuesday, it's really important for the public to really be careful.
It's very important because, yeah, if we have another fire going right now and then we have that lightning come through, you know, we still have that other fire to deal with as well. And so the least amount of fires we can have on the landscape, the better.
All right. It's going to be an interesting few days here before things cool down. Rachel, talk about people finding information and reporting fires and all that.
If you'd like more detailed information on the restrictions that we just discussed, go ahead and visit our website at www.dfpa.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Douglas Forest Protective Association or find us on Instagram or Twitter at Douglas FPA. If you would like to contact our information line, that runs 24/7. The phone number is 541-672-0379.
All right, Rachel Pope, Adam Sinke, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.